We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week, we've got another encore guest, Derek Van Mel. He's the CEO of the Center for Management Terms and Practices, the standards body for general management. Founded in 2018 after a successful pilot with the SBA, it is a for-profit association that trains managers at every level from every sector and size. The center standardized the terminology of management so departments can communicate. It standardized a kit of one-page tools so people can collaborate efficiently. Information about training and events is at theindex.net. Derek, welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm excited to be here, too. This was, it was early 2017 was the last time we had a conversation.
I know it. Way too long.
A lot has definitely changed in that time period. That being said, what has changed in your world since the last time we had a conversation?
Well, my professional world, it's changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I really had given up a consulting practice of 25 years. Evolved it a lot, mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say, into the center. And one of the most common problems I saw when I was, doing work with people, again, managers of all organizations at all levels, was what I called dodgeball meetings. And most people know what I mean, but mm-hmm. meetings where people were not quite understanding each other. So what did? They fell back on, having their idea, trying to bean the other people in the head with it and trying to dodge their ideas as they came back across. And I said, something's not right here. And people are just not understanding each other in some fundamental way. And that, of course, leads to all kinds of problems. But there was a moment that really crystallized the importance of this idea to me. It's a story I love to tell. I was doing some work for a medical foundation here in Wisconsin, strategic planning. And we had starting to develop this common language, the general manager's index and toolkit. And I've been working with this team who had known each other for a long, long time. And they'd been through a lot together. And but here we were crystallizing a plan. And one of them sort of interrupted the conversation and leaned in and said, "Now I see how what I do helps all you guys." And for me, that was a defining moment.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that how we're supposed to feel all the time? Why is that, a breakthrough moment? That should be how we feel, in every meeting, in every mm-hmm. conversation.
Yeah.
So, I started to dig down and what is the root of this problem? Mm-hmm. And so that's the center was born, find a standard language so we could talk to each other.
I think that's fantastic. So let's talk about that a little bit more. The center, who is it that you primarily work with and what's the value add that they're going to get by working with you?
Well, we work with people who have general management responsibilities. So those are people, we have lots of terminology for this, mm-hmm. who connect the dots, who see the big picture, who have P&L responsibility, who are on the management track. And that could be, of course, chief executive, or it could be maybe someone in a family business who is now coming up from one department, one function, marketing or operations or whatever, and now is plant manager or a regional manager or a product manager and now has to do all those things. They have to help all the departments sort of coordinate on what are almost by definition bigger decisions. Mm-hmm. And so that's who our members are. And they have in common a really real genuine interest in management, which is a thing, by the way. A lot of people think you can pick up management by just sitting in management meetings, forgetting that Harvard has a business school.
Yep.
so that's who we serve. And the value add is really this fundamental point that if people don't really understand the common language of management, it's really not the words, it's really the concepts. Mm-hmm. That's what words are, really. And so if, for example, how many times have we talked to people in a business who are either, maybe they're in the sales department, they say, those people in operations, they just don't understand us, and vice versa.
Sure.
And so then real conflict arises. Mm-hmm. And then you have to wonder, well, have they ever walked down the hall to this person they've worked with maybe for 20 years, I've seen this, and say, you know, let's just take an hour and have you tell me what it is exactly that you do
yep.
in your own language. And so I can be educated about that and understand your terminology. And lo and behold, if you understand what somebody does, you can appreciate what they do, mm-hmm. you know, and vice versa. But, I've told this many times, but everybody understands that if you, you know, got six marketing experts in a room together, would they agree what marketing is?
There's going to be different answers.
There's going to be different answers, right. And if you don't understand that, then you probably don't understand the major aspects of their work. What mm-hmm. is market research? What is pricing strategy? And on mm-hmm. and on. And if you don't understand that, well, again, you can't work with it and you can't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So what we created was, and we really started to build this like 7 years ago, was an online tool, the General Managers Index, that puts that whole, the formal word is taxonomy, lexicon, mm-hmm. on a page. And you can click through it and see, oh, this is what these things mean. And these are the typical synonyms and discussion questions. And it's not just about semantics. It's about fundamentally understanding what people are doing. So you ask me, well, what's the value in that? Well, if you can communicate, you can get stuff done. You can collaborate. And in a practical way, if you're the leader, the manager, you can now delegate with confidence that people are going to work as effectively and happily as they can, which is, of course, the main thing. There's another perspective on that, which is in a way sort of the founding principle or the heart of the center, which is that people love to work together on something that's more important mm-hmm. than just themselves. They love that. Mm-hmm. But we don't often get to do that, or don't often get to feel that. And so if you, as leader or manager, can tap that energy, then you're unstoppable.
Yeah.
You have a true culture of collaboration. And we've all had that maybe from time to time in our careers,
sure.
or maybe on the, some sport we played in high school, what have you. But we all want to have that feeling, and then you can do anything. And you come to work, you're not afraid, you feel comfortable, you feel accepted, and proud of what you do.
Yeah.
Right. You marched your way right up Maslow's hierarchy of of needs.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the value.
So how can you be a resource to my network and ultimately your network as well?
Well, you want the philosophical answer or the practical answer?
Let's go with both.
okay. All right. Let's start with the philosophical answer.
Okay.
How this helps the network. I'll tell a story. So early on, just after we'd founded, through a mentoring program, I was mentoring a protege, someone who was running a shared workspace in Madison, Synergy Co-working, I'll mention.
Okay.
Eugenia Podesta and her husband run this amazing co-working place. And they really get that the co-working is not just to give people, cheap rent or a room, but rather
sure.
to build community.
Yep.
And so I gave a talk to four women of color who were starting their businesses, small businesses. And I asked the question, this is not really part of the topic, but the conversation went this mm-hmm. way. I asked, well, how is the language of management, a barrier to you?
Mm-hmm.
And all four of these very charming women laughed. I said, well, of course it's a barrier. We never learned the language of management. And so it always feels like we're just a little bit outside of the flow of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was an opportunity for me to observe, to learn, reinforce what we're doing. So mm-hmm. we're really trying to get people to connect. And it's not just a way to optimize performance. It's a way to break down, fundamental social barriers, too. People love to work. It's important to them. And, you can't really treat people fairly unless you can understand them clearly. So
mm-hmm.
that's really the fundamental part of networking. And that's kind of a dramatic example, I think.
Yeah.
But it works at a more subtle way, even in your own, your current network, people you know. Again, you really want to understand, well, what is it that you do?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah.
And I really want to understand how it fits in the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And, we are just, really an hour's conversation away from really understanding people and building a connection, a mutual appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we go, decades without doing that. So that's the philosophical answer, I guess. But you asked me, what's the practical benefit? And the practical benefit, of course, it just builds off of that one, which is if you really understand what people do, let's say you're networking with someone in marketing or in operations or in finance. If you go to that meeting and you maybe you've done a little homework, and the General Manager's Index is a tool to help you do that homework, you're going to be equipped with some really great questions and a common understanding. So instead of, say, finance, oh, yeah, you guys always just say no to everything, you know, and bring your prejudice to bear. But to say, oh, you know what, I understand a little bit about finance. And, you know, I know that's financial accounting, managerial accounting, mm-hmm. risk management, finance, financing of the organization, exit planning. You know, you might create a question from that. What area do you like the most? What interests you the most?
Sure.
If you ask that kind of question, well, you're going to, you know, you better be ready to spend a couple hours listening to that CFO you're talking to or mm-hmm. about how much they love their work.
And, yep.
And now, but now they're going to really pay attention to you. And most people are good people. And so they'll turn around and then ask you that question. Well, tell me all about what it is that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about what you do and why you do it, why you love it, how it fits in. So That's absolutely a practical networking tool. I think it's the heart of it.
That sounds great. So when we first chatted, this was episode number 28. That was
28.
Quite some time ago.
Yeah.
You had said, when I asked who you would like to connect with, you know, the 6 degrees of separation question, you said you'd like to be a fly on the wall in the White House. So how far have you gotten on that?
Well, let's note that was 2 years ago.
Yes.
how to answer that question. I'd still like to be a fly on the wall in the White House. I actually, you know, have a friend who has a friend who has worked in the White House and has described work both in the current White House and the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
And to take this for what this worth, they were very different.
I would imagine.
And that's all I'm going to say.
So not quite the fly on the wall, but more of the telephone game of what you're hearing, acquiring some insights.
Yeah. But the point then and now is I'm just fascinated with how ideas come together mm-hmm. to make important decisions, how people talk to each other, how they communicate, how they collaborate. It's just fascinating. I had the privilege of meeting a fellow, Dmitry Hadzi is a great American sculptor. And I got a chance to know him a long time ago. And he wrote once, "I'm continually amazed by the weight of an idea that rests on the point of a pencil."
Hmm.
I'm continually amazed by the weight of an idea that rests on the point of the pencil, on the point of a pencil. And I just found it so powerful that whether you're holding a pencil or not, that we have these ideas that come out of conversation,
yep.
as abstract as anything can be, and then they turn into stuff like businesses and products and services that help other people. So how, you know, conversation and creativity turns into real things that make a real difference, that's just really fascinating. And sort of think about what happens in the White House when you're talking about, you know, the most important, intractable, difficult, complicated problems in the world. That would just be fascinating.
It's just mind-blowing, really.
Mind-blowing.
I like that statement, though. That's it sinks in real deep, actually.
Makes
you think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Derek, paying it forward is definitely an overarching theme that we hear and see often in the business mm-hmm. world, and that's a lot of what you're doing in your business. Can you share a recent pay it forward experience that you've had, either you've received or given?
Well, I have one from yesterday.
Oh, fun.
It's a great question. So the center has been formally organized for a year, and we're starting to develop. We have developed our sort of core of stalwarts
mm-hmm.
and CEOs and senior managers from different departments. And they've gotten to know each other, which is great. So I gathered them together yesterday to think about how are we going to organize our first chapter? Because we have to build community, personal community, among our membership. And what I didn't want to do is have a typical association meeting and just, you know, be patient with a dedicated introvert.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, a lot of those association meetings start with a kind of so-so presentation.
Yep.
And then a lot of talk about, well, who's going to sit in the on the program committee next year? We got an empty slot or two.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to raise money for the golf outing? And now lots of great associations, but a lot of the same too. And I said, what I want to do is let's have our chapters not be chapters, but work groups. And let's do stuff, make stuff. And we have all these ideas. And you've probably seen it too, Lori. You go to an association meeting, somebody has a problem, a lot of helpful, intelligent people talk about it, and maybe that sticks, but it doesn't get recorded, and it doesn't become useful then for other people.
Sure.
Usually,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so what we've done at the center is we figured out, answer the question, what is a best practice, and how to write that down. And so the conversation from this group, I'm coming back to your question, I forgot
okay.
it, was, okay, well, let's not only solve our problems that we have and help each other, but let's record that in a useful, simple way, and then let's share it with other people.
Cool.
And that's a way to pay it forward. But in addition to that, that idea led instantly to a conversation about, well, how can we take these people who have, had some success in their general management careers and become mentors or maybe provide coaching to or businesses that are, using the government's term, disadvantaged. Sort of circling back to my conversation with the four women of color who are, again, governmental term, disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we help them share ideas with each other? How can we share ideas from the broader world? Basically, look at this barrier, that language is a barrier, as an opportunity to install a door. And how can we do it? And it was interesting, there were eight of us in the room, and the conversation went right to how can we help the community? It was just,
That's awesome.
It was emotional for me,
I have to say.
It was really something
that everyone was on that same page
yeah.
to want to have that pay it forward mentality.
Yeah, yeah,
that's really cool. That's extremely impactful.
Yes.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, I love that question.
Well, Derek, besides your own tool and resources, everyone loves good tools and tips and resources that helps them save time or make their life easier. Do you have any tips or resources to share with our listeners?
Oh, well, those are two separate things, but I'll start with the tips.
Okay.
And I mentioned dodgeball meetings early on, and I give a little talk, how to blow the whistle on dodgeball meetings and, think and talk like a CEO, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized is that thinking about, my long career as a consultant, now in the past, but, I met a lot of really terrific servant leaders. And this is common in the literature,
mm-hmm.
Good leaders ask great questions. And so my tip is for anybody to not only pick that up, but to take that a little bit further. This is going to sound kind of wonky because I've been accused of being a little wonky, but
nothing
this works.
That.
When you're in a meeting and someone says, talking about some management thing, just stop and say, how do you define that term? Well, whatever it is, how do you define that? Don't let an acronym go by. What does that really mean?
Yep.
What are the parts of that? And not just let them answer that, but then say, I never heard that before, or I've heard it a little differently. So to talk about the words that people are using.
Yep.
And just to go right up to the deep end of wonkiness, this is how people were educated a long, long time ago. You just talked about the words. What do they mean? Because the words are not just a string of sounds,
mm-hmm.
some phonetics. It's about, fundamentally, how do we share concepts? That's what words are, right? Okay, so that's the end of the theory. So practical tip is just get in the habit. Just take a week. In every meeting, make a point to say, what does that mean to you? How do you define that exactly? And, right, it could be marketing. I made that joke earlier.
Sure.
But it's no joke. Or whatever it is. Or, the HR department has to do that. Could you tell me what are the basic functions of the HR department? I mean, you're going to have a little courage to ask the stupid question. But you've heard it before. It's the smart people that ask the stupid questions.
Oh, yeah.
So just try that for a week and then see how those meetings shift.
Mm-hmm.
And people will want you in their meetings.
Yep.
Because you're the one who says, I don't really, what does that mean? So that's one tip. And then we're proud of the index. If you want to take that a little step further, you're going into a meeting and it's about some management topic, market research, workflow process, writing the employee manual, financial accounting, whatever it is, go to the index and you'll see the general manager's index. Look it up ahead of time. Equip yourself with a definition that's survived our review board and synonyms and some discussion questions and bring those into the meeting and then just see how those meetings change. And they shift from being dodgeball meetings to being, you know, real meetings of, you know, collaboration. And those meetings tend to be a lot shorter because I think we burn through half of our meeting time because you didn't start the meeting by saying, let's just agree what these things mean before we work on them, right?
Yeah.
What is social media, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's broad.
That's pretty broad.
Yep, and that's another one. A lot of people have lots of different. Oh, that's great. I think that's fantastic. And the more you know, the better that everyone is at the end of the day. So
that's right.
You know, everyone knows that statement. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And if you can get everyone on the same page, you've got some pretty strong links there.
That's right. Right, and that means speaking the same language, fundamental way. Now, you'd asked about tools, too. I don't know if you wanted to go back to that.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's dive into it.
So it's one of my favorite topics. So the other element of things that we've standardized at the center and to be the standards body, besides standardizing the terminology, is a standard set of tools.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's seen this. You go into some strategic planning meeting or project planning meeting or some kind of management assessment meeting, and it's a different set of tools each time.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, they're attached to some other tool or they don't understand this one, but you're diving into using it. People don't quite get how it works. I mean, that's incredibly inefficient. And not only is it confusing, but it also cuts you off from, you know, literally 100 million other managers who are facing that same decision at the same time. So if we use different languages and different tools, we're basically forcing ourselves to go back to zero every time.
Yep.
We should start with the best. So, and what I learned is that people will only look at one page. So that's our mantra. So there's a set of tools, the general manager's toolkit. And one of the ones I'm proudest of, and I stole all of these, I will say, illegally, but I took them from other people, is the goal tree, which is a one-page diagram, which is basically, it's easy to picture, and the left of it, the beginning of it, is the statement of vision and mission and the top three measurable goals, which are speed, cost, quality. That's the mantra of successful management. So your margin goals, sales goals, quality goals, whatever those might be. And then the branches are, you know, how every organization around the planet is organized. You have executive or gen structure. You have marketing and sales, operations, information, HR, finance. And then boxes for putting in three measurable goals in each.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, right?
Yep.
All on a page, same format, easy to fill in. And so that tool, whether you have a strategic, you know, if you have a strategic plan, might be in some three-ring binder that's getting kind of dusty.
Mm-hmm.
So abstract that onto this one page.
Yep.
Great. Or if you don't have a plan, this is a really good way to collect your thoughts because most people know what they should be working on. And so it's just, again, if you can't get it on a page, right, nobody reads page two.
Yeah.
You know, I joked last time that one of my heroes, Winston Churchill, and he would never read anything more than a page during the management of the war, which is kind of an important thing, you might think. And someone would send him a lengthy memo, however many pages. In the lower right-hand corner, he had this red ink that only he could use. He would write, "I'm certain that the other pages of your memorandum were quite interesting." So adopt the one-page rule. That's a tip, whatever it is you're doing.
No, I think that's great. And obviously, so this document is available to publicly on the site then?
You can get what's public. The entire index is public and examples of these tools.
Now, okay.
To get the live tool itself, you have to become a member.
Got it. Okay.
So we're like any other standards body. You know, we're a subscription model.
Sure.
And, you know, like ISO or other kinds of things you're probably familiar with.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Derek, if we could remove all barriers and constraints, what project would you do or take on?
Well, no barriers or constraints. Well, this is my picture of ultimate success, right? And so you now promised you're going to get me there tomorrow, so I appreciate that. my vision of success is an international conference.
Mm-hmm.
People from different regions, different languages, literally different languages, people from across difficult, you know, political and cultural borders, sharing ideas about management. It's not just a universal language. It's a universal activity. And So to be able to provide, you know, see many people in a room in some terrific location, right, with good beer, would be that would be great. And of course, a long way to get there. But part of this is, you know, you've asked me to fantasize. So
sure, I love it.
What I'd love to do is have as a global partner, organization like The Economist or the Financial Times of London. These are organizations that are the international business networking groups, networking in the broadest sense of that, and who care deeply about the language. And at least for a little while longer, the language of management is English.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how we're going to compete with, you know, Farsi and Pashto and Mandarin, but I think it's not that. That to me would be just a terrific way to change the world.
I'd love it.
That's, yeah, you're invited.
When it happens, let me know.
Next week.
I love your big blue sky idea here. I think it's fantastic, and I'm sure you've got some irons in the fire to potentially make it happen too, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. What we're working on is really sort of the pragmatics of general management. And there are a lot of people, it's not really a training like people think of training, which is generally soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's a place for some people in their careers for an MBA. I have an MBA, was great, Loyola grad. Because the pace of life is so fast and the cost of getting an MBA is so high, that people need this pragmatic education, but they need it, you know, faster and cheaper,
mm-hmm.
Maybe better. I won't claim that.
Yep.
But I really think that there are two business school deans I've been talking to. I won't say which ones, who think that what we could provide a certificate in general management.
Oh, interesting.
And those are, you know, it's early innings with those conversations,
sure.
But. As you know, in marketing, it's often when you've got something new, it's a race to credibility. So would achieve that. We would, of course, those would be fabulous partnerships.
Absolutely.
But we've got a ways to go. We've mm-hmm. got to, you know, we've got to polish our own tools a little bit more. But that we've had this early interest is really exciting.
That is exciting, yeah. And I think it's something that is needed too.
That's what we're hearing.
Space, yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting how I like to think, you know. A good idea breeds other good ideas, so I'm proud of this one. And another application of this, because some of your listeners might be in the professions,
mm-hmm.
that I'm sure you've had. I know you've had, you know, lawyers, engineers, mm-hmm. accountants,
yep.
bankers.
Yep.
You know, probably sitting right in the same chair. And you know, what do they have? They have a degree in the law or accounting or what have you. And now all of a sudden, they've had success in their career. Now all of a sudden, they're managing. They're managers.
Yep.
They're on the management committee, or they're running an office, or
mm-hmm.
they're in charge of a product or service line. What do they know about management?
Yep.
You know, other than what they've picked up from their peers who themselves also have not had management training. Now, some big firms, of course, hire professional managers. It's great. But most people in the professions don't have that resource. So this is something we're just starting to work on, but we'd love to create, and we think we can create, a training curriculum for the professions.
Cool.
I think will take a lot of tension out of those firms as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of myths in management, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, all sales is bad,
uh-huh.
right? Sales is icky, you know, no. You know, marketing is a mystery, no. Work is always chaotic, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
There are common tools to solve these problems.
Cool. Those all sound... you got a lot of fun things going on right
yeah,
now.
too many and not enough of us.
Oh, I think that's just the way of the world nowadays, isn't it, to some extent? All right, Derek, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Well, I said last time they should call me, which is fine, and that's at 608-260-9300. But you can go online and go to theindex.net and particularly look at the General Manager's Index and click through that. Take a couple minutes to do that,
mm-hmm.
and scan the general manager's toolkit. And what we've learned is that people come to us because they've got a management problem. They see a tool that we've had, or they've heard about it.
Sure.
And then once they realize, though, that golly, it works so well if we're using a common language with my colleagues, they get addicted, and then they become members, and then they join our work groups, and then they get a free pass to their international conference, which we're going to have.
I love it. That's great. Well, we'll include all of that information on the show notes. It was really great to have you back.
Oh, thanks, Lori.
Lots of fun, just as last time. All right. Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. Huge thank you to Derek for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.